Now, morning of today's daf in Shavuos is Chaf Gimel. We are in the Mishnah in Chaf Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah now is going to continue its discussion of Shavuos B2. We know that the third parak with the beginning of the third parak of the Masechta, so we started our discussion, and now we're going to plot along in terms of what exactly is the expression of a Shavuos B2, where a person violates a Shavuos B2, and if he does have a Shogig, he's going to be Chayv a Karban Olav Yarud, and if he does have a Mezid, he'll be violating one of the Lavim in the Torah. Exactly which law he's going to be violating in the Torah. So already in the beginning of the parak, we had a machlokas amarayim, exactly how to categorize each of these shvuos. As I mentioned already a couple of times, just repeating the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Shvuos, so he makes it really simple. He just simply says that anytime it's a shvuos bitui about either eating in the future or in the past, either I will eat or I will not eat, or I did or I didn't eat. So the Rambam says that's a violation of shvuos bitui. That's a... That would be considered a false oath. On the other hand, if it makes an absurd statement, that's a shvuos shav, and then nedarim fall under its own separate category. That was the Rambam's simple structure of how one violates a shvuah. And so now, as we start now the Mishnah in Chav Gimel, Chav Beis Amud Beis, so the Mishnah over here is going to be detailing a number of scenarios in which you're going to be making a shvuah and the coverage of that shvuah. What is that shvuah covering? So we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins Shavuos Shlo Ochel, V'Ochel V'Shasai Nochay V'Lacha. So a person makes a Shavuot, he's not going to eat. And then what does he do? He eats and he drinks. Okay, so he is involved now in, quote unquote, two activities. But as we, of course, know, it's not two activities. Eating and drinking is just simply part of the act of eating. So therefore, he's only going to be Chayav one. And the big part of the Gemara's discussion that we're going to be seeing for a good part of today is how do we look at drinking? Is drinking just simply a subset of eating? Is it subsumed under eating, or is drinking its own separate activity? So it's pretty clear from the Mishnah, and I guess you and I would consider it to be pretty intuitive, that drinking, of course, is subsumed under eating. Right? You go to a restaurant and you order food, so you know they ask you if you want a cup of water, and they don't even charge. At least not here. So drinking is subsumed under eating, and so that's a big discussion, and stay tuned. Now, shvuah shlo ochel v'shlo eshteh. Now, the next case in the Mishnah is that he binds himself by shvuah that he's not going to eat or he's not going to drink. V'achal v'shasa. And now he eats and drinks. Now, here, the articulation of the shvuah is very clear that it's going to cover both eating and it's going to cover drinking. He specifies drinking. And then he eats and he drinks chayv shtayim. So he's going to be chayv two. Now, that part is a little bit confusing. And again, as we get through the Gemara, we're going to try to navigate through this part of the Mishnah. But in other words, if drinking is subsumed under eating, so why isn't the drinking already covered just by simply saying, I'm not going to eat? And on top of that, it's confusing because now, in this formulation of a shvuah, when he eats and when he drinks, he's actually going to be chayev too. And if drinking is just simply part of eating, so why is he chayev too? Now, the obvious answer is because he said drinking, but okay, he specified drinking. But okay. So obviously, we're going to need to try to figure out how much drinking is part of eating, and then can it ever be separated from the act of eating?
But he could drink without eating, also, so that's fine.
Right, right, another thing we're going to be discussing in the Gemara is the flip side of this. Meaning, if he says he's not going to drink, is eating covered by drinking?
No.
Okay, good. That's you. I have a feeling you saw the Gemara once before. Maybe more than once. Okay. Shvuah shelo ochel. The shvuah is not going to eat. By the way, just as a general point to all these cases in the Mishnah, meaning this shvuah binds himself not to eat. And he says, lo ochel. Hard to imagine. Not hard to imagine. It's impossible. A person can only go so much time without eating at all. So even though the Mishnah over here does not articulate that it's for a limited period of time, I mean, it has to be. Meaning a person can't just simply make a shvuah that he's not going to eat, period, anymore. That's it. It's the ultimate diet, if you will. In other words, it has to be that these shvuos are within a certain time limit or a time boundary. Otherwise, they're just simply absurd shvuos. Like we're going to see, for example, the classic example which is going to come up in our Masechta, right? I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. So the Gemara says that's a shvuah shav. That's absurd. He can't do that. So over here, when the person says, I'm not going to eat, so once again, that in of itself is an absurdity. You can't go not eating. It doesn't work that way. So so obviously all these cases have to be dealing within a certain time frame, even though the Mishnah is not clear about that point. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the cases. Shur shal ochel. Person makes a shur that he's not going to eat v'achal, and he eats. And he eats different types of bread. Pas chitim, pas orim, pas kusmim. Bread made of wheat, barley, or spelt. Einu chayv al achas. It's only chayv one because the shvur was just simply on the full coverage. I'm not going to eat. Shvur shlo ochel paschitim pasaorim paskusmim. Here in the second case, in the contrasting case, the person made a shvur with clear articulation that I'm not going to be eating not wheat bread, not barley bread, not spelt bread. V'achal chayv al kol achas v'achas. And in the event that he eats, he's going to be chayv on each one. Shvur shlo eshte. The person makes a shvur that he's not going to drink. And then he drinks various drinks. He's going to be chayav only but one shvur, one carbon. Shvur shalo eshte yayin v'shem and dvash. V'shasa chayav al kol achas v'achas. However, if in the shvur he makes a clear articulation that he's not going to drink neither wine, nor oil, nor honey, and then he goes and he drinks, he's going to be chayav on each one. Shvur shalo ochel v'achal ochlin shein ruin la'achil v'shasa mashkin shein ruin l'shtiyah potter. Person makes a shvur that he's not going to eat, and then he eats or drinks things which are inedible. So then he's going to be exempt. And the case which we've already dealt with twice before in the Gemara, but now this is the actual Mishnah. Shvur shalo ochel v'achal nevel shrefa shkatzim v'ramasim. A person made a shvur that he's not going to eat, and he eats food, and it's edible food. But the small problem, of course, is that it's not kosher. So it's forbidden to us. And nevela, animal that meat comes from an animal that was in shechted, shrefa, an animal that suffered some sort of internal puncture in one of its organs, and the animal now is going to die very shortly. Shkatzim for a Muslim, anything that crawls on the ground. So these are all dvarim hatameim. They are dvarim hasurim. They are all prohibited foods. So under those circumstances, even though the Torah bounds them by a shvua already at Mamad Har Sinai, circa 3,300 years ago, that we're not going to be eating these foods. Nevertheless, if he makes a declaration that he's not going to eat, so included now in his shvur is going to be these foods as well, and as a result of that, he's going to be chayv. Now, if we already discussed this twice before, but let's just quickly revisit, why is he going to be chayv? Meaning, ein shvua chal al shvua, one oath cannot go ahead and impose itself, superimpose itself on top of another oath, so why should you be chayv? This has already been covered at Ma'amad Har Sinai, so the answer must be, the answer is the Gemara gave two answers amongst the Amoraim to this question. One answer is that this is what's called an Isser Kolal, meaning that because since your shvur was I'm not going to eat in general, so your shvur is going to be covering dvar mamutarim, so including dvar mamutarim or also dvar masurim as well. So this is what's called an Isser Kolal. That's one possibility. And another possibility is shiurim, meaning in terms of the amount of the food, how much does the Torah prohibit us from eating? Torah prohibits it from meaning a kezias. When you make a shvua, so what you're adding to the Torah is even pachos mikezias. That's another approach amongst the Amoraim. The first approach, we just saw this yesterday's daf. The first approach was given by Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Second approach I just gave is given by Reish Lakish. Continuing in the Gemara. Shvur shal ochel v'achal nevel shrefa v'ramasim chayev. Rabbi Shimon Poter. And Rabbi Shimon says, under these circumstances, you're going to be Poter. And Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to these svaras that we just gave. Stay tuned, we're going to be discussing that. Amar. Konim ishi nenes li. A person makes a neder. Now, I know we're not learning the Dharma right now. We're learning the Masechta called Shavuos. But you'll see in just a moment why the Gemara gives this particular case. Konim ishi nenes li. A person says that my wife is not going to get benefit from me. And he declares so al yedei neder. And he does so through a declarative statement that all the food that I own will be like a carbon to my wife under the following circumstances. Im achalti hayom, if I eat today. So basically what he's doing now is that he is making the neder but conditional. And the condition is if he eats today. V'hu achal, and he does eat today. But nevelos, trefos, shkatzim v'ramasim, so he eats foods that are asur. Hare ishto asur. So under these circumstances, so his wife now, the nedra has actually been triggered. It's now been set into motion. And as a result of that, his wife can't benefit from him. A number of interesting points on this last case over here in the Gemara, on the Mishnah. Number one, there's a general requirement that a husband has to support his wife. And when I say general requirement, really what I mean is the Torah requirement. Right, a husband marries his wife, so now he's responsible. And including that responsibility, of course, is to support his wife. In other words, he's got to feed her. And so, in general, it is a little bit difficult to understand how a person could make such a shvua. Now, we do have ideas. We do have principles that a wife could say to the husband, look, we have a marriage, and the marriage demands a certain reciprocal relationship, a certain reciprocal financial relationship. You have to support me, and any earnings that I make go to you. But the wife can say to the husband, look, I'm doing pretty well. Right? I'm making a good living. I'll keep my earnings. You keep your food. And so she could navigate in the marriage under those circumstances, under those conditions. So there could be cases constructed where she is financially independent from him, and he doesn't have to support her. So that could be a possibility in terms of how we can get away with not supporting her and making such a neder. It's an important point to flesh out in the Mishnah. The other point, however, in the Mishnah is that what do we have over here? We have this case following immediately before the case prior. Now, the case prior was a person said, I'm not going to eat food, and he ate trey food. What did the Mishnah say? It's a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama says that is a violation of his neder, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not. Now, the Mishnah follows it up with this case. Now, this case over here, he makes a neder on the condition that he is not going to eat today. And he ate today not kosher. At this point now, you would expect for Rabbi Shimon to say, well, he didn't unlock the neder. In other words, he didn't trigger the neder off. Because eating not kosher is not considered eating. Well, that's what he said just a moment ago. And over here, he doesn't protest this case. So it's pretty clear, and Rashi says it in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon would be agreeable to this case. What's the difference between this case and the previous case? Why in the previous case is Rabbi Shimon saying eating not kosher food is not considered eating? Over here, eating not kosher food, according to Rabbi Shimon, is considered eating. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to pick up on the idea that Rabbi Shimon seems to be agreeable in this case. The Gemara starts off its discussion. A person makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat, and then he drinks, he's going to be chayev. Meaning, this is not a case that was explored by the Mishnah, but it seems to be pretty clear. When he makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat, it includes drinking. The coverage of eating is eating and drinking. And so just by a simple act of drinking by itself is now going to be a violation of his shvuah. So, ibaisim asvar, vibaisim akra. Now, the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel that this can come to us via svara, or this could come to us via psuk. Ibaisim asvar, damar le inish le chavre nito midi. I invite my friend over and I say, come. Let's eat together. And va'ailei va'achle v'shasi. And then he comes in, and what's the expectation? That we're going to eat and we're going to drink. So, simple svara, that in the vernacular between you and I, when we try to communicate with one another, and I invite you over for a bite, so you normally would expect that included in that would be some drink as well. Fine. That's a svara pshuta. On top of that, there's also psukim. Ibaisim akrash, shtiyah b'chlal achila. We can also demonstrate this through psukim. Amr shalach shemenan shtiyah shtiyah b'chlal achila shenemar v'achal tof ne'ashem l'kecha b'amakom asher yivchar l'shaken shmosham ma'iser degancha v'tiroshcha. So the Torah tells us that when we're eating our ma'iser sheni, we're going to be eating it in Yerushalayim. And included now, the Torah gives a list of foods that are going to be eaten. Meaning, what is under ma'iser sheni? So grain, all right, and tiroshcha. Now, what is tiroshcha? Okay, so right, so you know the company in Israel, right? So the I'm surprised the Gemara didn't give that as an example. So top of Chav Gimel and Aleph, v'tirosh chamrahu, and the Gemara says, and you know, and tirosh of course is chamra. So it's a pasuk in the Torah. And look, how did the Torah start open up? The Torah opened up by saying, v'achaltu lfnei Hashem lokecha, you're going to eat, and including the pasuk is going to be drinking as well. Right. Right, but in other words, correct. But we're just showing it's a demonstration that the word achila is covering both. But exactly. So v'ksiva achalta v'dilma ideani ground. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. It could be that tiroshcha in the pasuk is actually referring to not the actual drink of wine, but wine included in the dish. Da'amar Rabba bar Shmuel anigron ma'id desilka and achisa grown ma'id dekula silka or shilka. So the Gemara says basically maybe what the Torah is describing is that wine that was thrown in. The first thing for sure is something similar to what we would call borscht. Second thing is some sort of thick vegetable stew. But the wine was poured into it. And so maybe what the Torah was describing over there was not drinking of wine, but drinking of wine that was introduced into a food and basically we're eating it. So meaning the pasuk, if all I had was this pasuk by itself, it is not a clear-cut indication that achila includes drinking. So Elam Rav Acha by Yaakov Meachas. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll give you another pasuk. Benasata kesef b'chol asher tava nafshecha b'abakar v'tzonu v'yanu v'shechar. So the Gemara over here, the Torah over here, also describing Maaser Sheni. And in this particular pasuk, what we're describing is taking your Maaser Sheni money and bring it to Yerushalayim. As we've gone over time and again, how you collect your Maaser Sheni annually on the field, and then you either bring the actual food itself to Yerushalayim, or the Torah gives another option, and that is to transfer the Kedusha from the food onto money, and then bringing the money to Yerushalayim and spending that money on food. And that's what we're reading now in the Pasuk. V'nasata kesef b'chol asher tava nafshecha, and you spend the money on whatever it looks appetizing. And bakar tzon yayin shechar. And here, a clear enumeration of things that are either eaten or drinking, or drunk. So yayin, chamerhu, and it's pretty clear that the yayin mentioned over here is a reference to wine. Uksiv va'achalta, and then if you keep reading the psukim, then it says, and then you're going to be eating in Yerushalayim, that which you just purchased. So again, now we have another pasuk which seems to be pretty clear that eating is when you say the word eating, what you're covering is also drink as well. V'dilma hachinami ayidani grown. So the Gemara says again, the Gemara tries to be a little argumentative. And it could very well be that the eating over there is just simply where the wine was introduced into a dish. So the Gemara says, Shechar ksiv mi dit mishtakir. So the Gemara says, no, because it also says, Yain vish shechar. Shechar is something intoxicating. So the Gemara says, and wine, of course, is intoxicating. The Gemara says, okay, that's true, but dilma tvil akilos titanya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but fruit also is intoxicating. Now, the Gemara mentions this a number of times, so I've kind of gotten to the point where I just accept it, that fruit is intoxicating. Our fruit, not so much, but back then they had various fruits that were, okay, however you want to, high sugar content. Maybe they went through some fermentation process. However, it is explained. But certain fruits back then were intoxicating, and the halach is achol dvela kilos v'shasa dvash v'chalav v'nichnas v'mikdash v'avad chayiv. We know that a kohen is under the prohibition of not doing the avoda under the influence. And when we say under the influence over here, it doesn't just simply mean that he can't drink wine, but he can't do anything that would intoxicate him and would take away his sobriety. And included in that is any intoxicating agent. And the Braisa says that if he eats the figs and he drinks honey or he drinks milk. So these are things that create some sort of intoxicating scenario. And if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he serves under those circumstances, he would be chayiv. Fine. So again, if I just had this pasuk, in of itself, it doesn't clearly indicate that you are going to be chayiv. Because the pasuk could be talking about just intoxicating items, not necessarily wine. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. The pasukim by themselves are not super clear indications. They're pretty good, but not super clear. So the Gemara says, well, introduce it. Zer Shava, it says the word yain over here. It says it by Nazir, it's talking about wine. So too over here, it's talking about wine. Okay, so what do we have right now? Basically, the idea that when you say eat, eating is including drinking as well. And even though the Mishnah doesn't say this, but the Gemara says, Shmuel says it very clearly, which is that if I make it a shvua that I'm not going to eat, and all I do is drink, that is a violation of your shvua. Very good. And as far as what the source of this is, either a svara pshuta, a very simple svara of, we all know, in simple communication, when I say come over and have a bite, let's eat, I include in that is, of course, drinking. And the Gemara says psukim, we have various psukim that also seem to indicate that, although the Gemara tried to deflect the psukim, but the psukim also are indications. Yeah. Well, the Torah mentions neither, actually, by Yom Kippur. The Torah says, V'nisa mesnaf shosecha. And then the Mishnah, right, the first Mishnah, the eighth parak of Yuma, so that's what outlines what is included under Inui. So Yom Kippur is, you know, it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Amarava afanami tanina. So Rava says, it's a Mishnah. Shvua shloacha v'achal v'shasa eino chayav ela achas. Look at the first case of our Mishnah. A person says he's by Shvua, that he's not going to eat, and then he eats and he drinks. What's the result? He's going to be chayv one. Imar bishlam mashiyah b'chla achila yitzrich le'latan l'shmuinan. Deino chayv ela achas. Now, if drinking is included in eating, I understand what the Mishnah is trying to accomplish. Because consider, Drinking and eating were two separate activities. And drinking was not covered by eating. So then, what's the Mishnah trying to teach us? That if I made a shvuah that I'm not going to eat, and then I eat and I drink, I'm only going to be chayav one. Well, of course, meaning drinking is a totally separate entity. It'd be like the Mishnah saying, I made a shvuah I'm not going to eat, and what do? I eat and I work. Okay? And the Mishnah tells me I'm only going to be chayav one. Of course I'm only going to be chayav one, because working has nothing to do with eating. So the Gemara says, so clearly, drinking is included in eating, and the Mishnah now has to make sure that we understand that if I eat and I drink, I'm only going to be chayav one. So So the Gemara says, okay, but let's go now to the next line of the Mishnah. The next case of the Mishnah. Shvuah shelo ochel vil shelo eshteh v'acha v'shasa chayiv shtayim. A person that is shvuah that he's not going to eat, and he clearly articulates, and he's not going to drink, and then he eats and drinks, he's going to be chayiv too. Kevin damar shelo ochel itzalei b'shtiyah. Ki amar shelo eshteh amai chayiv. So the Gemara says, now, if drinking is included in eating, which has been our assumption since the entire beginning of the sugya. So if drinking is included in eating, so the moment he articulates the words, I'm not going to eat, so that already has full coverage of eating and drinking. And then when he repeats himself and he says, and I'm not going to drink, well, that's already been covered. And ilo amr shelo eshteh trei zimne mimechayv tarte. In fact, let's make this point very clear, says the Gemara. A person says that I'm not going to drink, and he says it twice. How many shvuos is he now violating? Only one. The second one is just simply a redundancy. It's a shvuah which is eno chal al shvuah. So over here, why should he be chayv too when he says, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, and then he eats and he drinks? The drinking should be covered by the achila. So the Gemara is going to take just a little bit of time to get to the answer. So, but the Gemara makes first a couple of proposals. Amalei hasam damar shelo eshteh, v'ada amar shelo ochel. So d'shtiyah b'chal achila isa, achila b'chal shesia leisa. So the first suggestion of the Gemara is that maybe we'll fine-tune the case on the Mishnah. A little bit of editing of the Mishnah will just simply switch around the eating and the drinking. Where first thing he uttered is, I'm not going to drink, and then he uttered, and I'm not going to eat. And you see, says the Gemara, now you understand why there are two separate shvuos. Because when you say drinking does not have full coverage. Drinking just is limited to drinking. We don't say that included in drinking is eating. Even though the other way, of course, is expansive. When you say I'm not going to eat, eating includes eating and drinking. And so the Gemara says, when he first says, I'm not going to drink, so that has limited coverage to just drinking. And then when he makes a second shvuah that I'm not going to eat, so that now is going to be chal, because so far he's only been covered on the drinking, and he's not been covered on the eating. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Aval amar shvuah shlo achav v'shloh shteh v'achav v'shasa mai, einu chayv al achas. So the Gemara says, well, if you're right, so then if I just flip that back to what our Mishnah actually says, where the person says, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, so how many karbanos is he going to be chayav? If he eats and drinks, so you're telling me he's going to be chayav one. So the Gemara says, well, if you're right, so then the Mishnah missed an unbelievable opportunity to tell us a really big chiddush. The Mishnah gave the example of where he said, I'm not going to eat, and then he eats and he drinks, and he's only going to be chayav one. Listen, here's what the Mishnah should have taught us. The person actually articulates, I'm not going to eat, and I'm not going to drink. That's part of his shvuah. And einu chayv al achas. And then let the Mishnah now teach us, and how many violations is he going to make? One violation, because drinking is included in eating. V'koshekin shlo achal achudei. And once we know that case, the case the Mishnah gave us, is then going to be obvious. Meaning, basically what the Gemara is bothered by is, if you're right, the Mishnah had the chance of giving us a bigger chiddush, and it didn't do so. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's leave the Mishnah unedited. The version of the Mishnah that we have is the correct version. And again, question. How come, if you're right, that drinking is included in eating, and the person said, I'm not going to eat, and I'm not going to drink, the Mishnah says, and then he eats and drinks, he's going to be chayv too. Why? In other words, the drinking should have been covered already by the achila, and you should only be violating one of your shvuos, not two. So the Gemara says, and here's the answer, and it's intuitive, and we probably would have guessed it even before the Gemara said it. When you say just simply, I'm not going to eat, and that's it, so that has an expansive coverage of eating and drinking. And like the Gemara says from the beginning of the whole discussion. But when you say, I'm not going to eat, and I'm not going to drink, By virtue of the fact that you're now saying, and I'm not going to drink, that's a gilui milsa, that's a clear revelation that you're eating over here is not the normal assumed understanding of the word eating. Eating in general means eating and drinking. But because you said drink, it clearly demonstrates that when you said the word eat, it meant I'm not going to eat, and that only covered food. And now when you include drink, so this is a new shvuah, which is covering drink as well. That's why when you eat and you drink, violating both of your shvuos, you're actually violating both of your shvuos. That's one possibility. Amar Ravashi Masis Nami Deka, the Gemara says, and look, the Mishnah is meduyik like this. Shur shel ochel, v'achal uchlan shein ruyim l'achil, v'shasa mashin shein ruyim l'shtia, potter. So the Gemara says, if a person makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat, and then he goes and he eats food that's inedible, or drinks drink that's undrinkable, or inedible, so potter. So under those circumstances, that would be potter. Haru uyin chayev. And again, making a simple deek in the Mishnah, meaning that if the drink that he drunk was consumable, so then he would be chaya. But isn't the shvuah saying that he wasn't going to eat? And you're telling me that's also covering drink as well? So again, another very simple riot to the statement of Shmuel. So Dilma de Amartarti, shvuah shalo achel, shvuah shalo eshteh. So the Gemara says, well, again, if it's just that alone, that's not enough of a compelling raya. It could be the case of the Mishnah that he actually articulates he's not going to eat and he's not going to drink. Okay, so as much as the Gemara has been, it's an Amud of Gemara, an entire Amud of Gemara. As much as the Gemara has been slightly argumentative on this issue, but Shmuel's statement, which is that's the accepted viewpoint, is that when a person says I'm not going to eat, incorporate including that is the coverage of both eating and drinking. And so if he just drink by itself, that in of itself is going to be a violation of his shvuah. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, why the Mishnah given introduced a case where he said, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, and then he eats and drinks, he's going to be chayav two, should only be chayav one. Gemara says, no, but that's different. And the reason why it's different, as the Gemara just articulated, is because when he makes that double shvuah, then under those circumstances, but only under those limited circumstances, was that a clear demonstration that his word achila there only had a limited coverage of just eating. But otherwise, generally speaking, if a person says he's not going to eat, including that is inking, is eating and drinking.
Oh, wait, so is there a practical thing with the benching? Benching requires you that you eat and drink or just eating.
Right. V'achalta v'savalta v'rachta. The Gemara at the end of the seventh parak of Brachas talks about whether or not your chiv daraisa to bench is after you ate or after you ate and you drink. Okay. I hear you. Obviously the requirement to bench mina Torah is even if you don't drink. But there is an opinion, right? But you're right though. There is an opinion in the seventh parak that you have to drink as well.
But you can't drink right after you
bench. without a bracha. That's a separate issue. Right, that's a halachic issue. Shvuah shelo chavacha paschitin v'dilma. Okay, now, next case that we're trying to uncover in the Mishnah is where a person makes a shvuah and incorporating in the shvuah is, I'm not going to eat, and he doesn't specify what he's not going to eat, and he eats different types of foods. He's only going to be chayiv one because the shvuah was just simply on the act of eating. However, the Mishnah gives the example where he says, I'm not going to eat. And he actually specifies, I'm not going to eat bread of wheat, bread of barley, bread of spelt. Under those circumstances, says the Mishnah, if he eats bread, wheat, or spelt, he's going to be chayiv on each one. And even if it's behelam echad, even if he does so under one state of unawareness, still each one of the breads is going to have within it its own separate chiyuv karman olaviyari. Assuming he did so b'shogeg. So, the Dilma, the Gemara says, here's what I'm bothered by. The Dilma, lemifter nafshei me'achronaisa kasi. Look, this person did specify, under his shvuah, I'm not going to eat bread of wheat, bread of barley, and bread of spelt. And what the Gemara is saying is that what that generates is three separate shvuahs. The Gemara says, why? It could very well be that he was only detailing which grains he's not going to eat in order to explicate which grains he is going to eat. Meaning that he said, not wheat, not barley, not spelt, so that we know that oats and rye are okay. It could very well be that that's just simply why he's doing so. Not to create three separate shvuos, but simply to but simply to identify which grains he's not going to eat and which grains he is going to eat. But if that's true, so then really all this is just one shvuah. Why are we assuming now that he's making three separate shvuahs on each one? So the Gemara answers. So the Gemara says, well, if that's what he wanted to do, so then he should have just simply said, I'm not going to eat from neither wheat, barley, or grain. So, and he would have left out the word pas in between each one of them. So the Gemara says, v'dim lakosta lakos. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you the problem. If he would have just simply said wheat, barley, and grain, and didn't use the word bread, so maybe what he was making a shvuah on is that I'm not going to chew on the actual grain itself. Okay, in the good old days, chewing on grain was an activity. And when the Gemara says chew, so it I don't know if he's chewing and actually, you know, ends up digesting the grain. But anyway, but in other words, the roasted grains were very popular back then. It could very well be that without introducing the word pas, and he just simply identified the grain by itself, the shvuah could be misunderstood as going on the actual grain itself. So the Gemara says, okay, but we can avoid that. What he could have said is, I'm not going to eat the bread of wheat, barley, and spelt. The Gemara says, but that's also not clear, because that could be interpreted to mean, I'm not going to eat the bread of wheat, and I'm not going to chew on barley and spelt. Again, what he could have said is, I'm not going to eat the bread of wheat, nor of barley, nor of spelt. Top of Chavkim on the days, the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, V'dilma yidei tarovis. Well, the Gemara says, again, if that's what his statement was, it also could be misunderstood, misinterpreted, that it's not going to cover only a grain that is a multigrain, that has all three of these grains included in them. Ema v'chein shel sa'arim, v'chein shel kosmim. Again, the Gemara says, if it's for that alone, he could have just simply said, and that of barley and that of spelt. It is possible to make a clear shvuah that you're not going to be eating the bread of any of these grains, and he could have gotten away without having to say the word pas every time. By virtue of the fact that he says pas every time, pas lamali, shma min alechalik, it's there to come to teach us that really what he's doing is he's making three separate shvuahs, even though he only said the word shvuah once. But because he's using words that are superfluous, so that now is telling us that he's actually making three separate shvuahs. One on the wheat grain, barley grain, and spelt grain. And so therefore there's now a shvuah on each one of them. When he eats any one of them, so he's going to be chayev. And even if he eats all three, he's going to be chayev al kol achas v'achas. Okay. So the Gemara says, look, in the case of bread, so we have the extraneous word pas, and that creates a separate chuyuv on each one of the breads. But over here we're talking about drink. And over here there's no drink of milk. And there's no drink of wine, meaning it's milk and wine. So since the drinks themselves are just identified with one word, what is the extra word over here that clearly indicates that he's making multiple shvuas? And again, like the Gemara suggested earlier, but here it's even a stronger question. It could very well be that he's just simply identifying which drinks are covered by shvua, so that we know which drinks are not going to be covered by shvua. And how does the Mishnah know, and how do we know that really what his intent was is to make separate shvuas on each one of the drinks? So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's an okipta over here in the circumstance, and the circumstance is such where the drinks are actually sitting in front of him. So right now in front of him, he's got a cup of wine, milk, and honey. It's strange. That's all three of them are in front of them right now, but that's what he has for us right now. And he says, excuse me, and he says, by shvuah, I'm not going to drink these. So the Gemara says, V'dilma eluhu delo shasina, achrina shasina. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, that could be ambiguous. Because what he could mean is that I'm not going to drink these particular cups of wine, these particular drinks, but in other words, another cup of wine, for sure. And another cup of milk, for sure. So, ela da'amar, elu delo shasino. So, kagon, I'm sorry, da'amar shvur delo shasino kagon elu. Sorry. So the Gemara says, well, no. Maybe if he just wanted to clearly articulate one shvuah, he would just simply say, I'm not going to eat anything like these, pointing to the drinks that are in front of him, milk, wine, and honey. And by virtue of the fact now that he actually expresses and articulates milk, wine, and honey, so that's now it's superfluous, and now we can understand there's three separate shvuahs. And again, the Gemara is not perfectly convinced. Dilma, kigon elu delo shasina. Batsir mahachi v'tafi mahachi shasina. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what he says is anything like these. But in other words, and then specifically in these amounts. But anything less than this, or anything more than this, so that he's ready to drink. So again, if it's just this circumstance, it's not clear in of itself that he is he's expanding to these particular liquids. And so the Gemara says, and that's why he has to say, not milk, not honey, not wine. Kagon de amr shvur shlo eshte mimin elu. Again, the Gemara says, no, it could very well be that without having to say the words milk, honey, and wine, he could clearly articulate that he's not going to be drinking milk, honey, and wine. Milk, honey, and wine is in front of him. He points to the drinks and he says, I'm not going to drink mimin elu, of these types of drinks. V'dilma min elu hu delo shasina ha inu gufayu shasinu. So again, there could be still a little bit of ambiguity left in that comment, because maybe he's not drinking anything like these, but these actual drinks in front of him, he's ready to drink. So, and again, Gemara gets to the point where, no, you could say clearly, I'm not going to drink these, I'm not going to drink anything like these. And so again, you could get away with making the shvuah without actually identifying the names of the drinks. Okay, so, all this because we're looking for a scenario in which we know for sure that by him articulating the names of the drinks, he's making a separate shvuah on each one. And the Gemara constructs a scenario in which the actual naming of the drinks is superfluous. And that's how we know that there's a shvuah on each one. Ravach ha-bray d'ravach ika amar b'mesarev bo chaver raskinan. Damla bo v'shase imi yayin v'shem en vash. Ayol amar m'shvuah shlo eshte imcha yayin v'shem, I'm sorry, eshte imcha. So, Gemara constructs another scenario in which actually identifying the drinks is superfluous. Right? Person comes over to me and says, come over, please. I've got wine, I've got honey, and I got milk. And come over and drink them with me. And I'm not interested. And I say, no, thank you. And he just keeps nudging me. Come on, let's go. I'd love you to come over. And right now, I'm just not in the mood. Not socially ready. So what I then say is, shvuah. Look, I'm really sorry. You know I'm bound by oath that I'm not supposed to drink them. Even though, of course, I'm making the shvuah right now. But in other words, okay. But going from now on forward, you know, I'm bound by oath that I'm not allowed to drink them. And he could have just simply said them. And again, contextually, we know that we're talking about wine, milk, and honey. Because that's what he was invited to come over to drink. Oh, milk as well? Yeah, that's funny. Funny you say that. That's also included in my shvuah. So anyway, so it's contextually, we now know that it covers these drinks. So now that we know that, so now by him articulating yayin shecher dvash, right? I'm sorry, yayin shem and dvash, wine, oil, and honey. So lamali lechav kol achas vachas. Okay, so basically another scenario where he didn't actually need to name them. He's naming names. He's identifying the drinks by names. So that since it's superfluous, we understand it as individualized shavuos. Continuing now, the Gemara is, we're in the middle of Chav Gimel, Medbeis, Tanan Hasam. So this is a Mishnah coming up later. And the Mishnah later is describing Shavuos HaPikadon. Shavuos HaPikadon is where I am entrusted to watch something by my friend, and he comes over and I don't have it. Under certain circumstances, the Shavuos will exempt you from having to pay. Okay? Yer Shomer Chinam is a simple example. And we know that in the case of Geneva Ve'Aveda, you'd be Potter. So now, but in order to create the Patur, so you have to make a shvuah. And under the circumstances in which you made a shvuah, and then it turns out that you were lying, so under those circumstances, so you have to bring a carbon. So, Tanan Hasam, Tein li chitin sarim v'kusma, sheyesh li biyadecha. So the owner of the item say, okay, could you please give me back my wheat, barley, and spelt that I handed over to you? And shvuah she'en lecha biyadi klum. And you say, what are you talking about? I'm making a shvuah that ain lecha biyadi klum. I don't have it. Ainu chayv alacha. So here, under the circumstances where he made a shvuah, and it was a full shvuah, so even though the demand was made of three separate items, his shvuah was simply, I've got nothing. We're going to call that now kolel. So the so under those circumstances, there's only going to be chayv one carbon. However, now, if he says, I don't have it, and when it isn't just simply say the word it, he actually specifies, I don't got the wheat, and I don't got the barley, and I don't got the spelt, and he makes a shvua to that effect, so then he's going to be chayv in each one. Ve'amar of Yochanan, afilu, prutak mekulam mitzarefes. That even a pruta from each one, from all of them, I should say, is going to be mitzaref. Pligi baravacha ravina charamar, aparta mechayev aklala mechayev, vecharamar aklala nami mechayev, hachamai. And over there, there's a debate in terms of whether or not you're going to be chayev on the individual or you're going to be chayev on the general. And when we get to it, we'll explain it better. But in the meantime, however, hachamai. Over here, how do we translate that to our discussion over there? Now, again, that's what's up. Pikadon. And this is obviously Shuas Bitui, but the Gemara wants to know, how does that work vis-a-vis over here? Amarava hachi hashta. Hasa mechaiva klala mechaiva prat. The Gemara says, well, it's really not comparable. Because over there by Shuas Epikadon, you are going to be chayiv both on the general and on the specific. Daha imishtabe vahada mishtabe mechaiv. Tarte. Because over there, if you made a general shvua followed by a specific shvua, you're going to be chayiv on both. But isa, but hachav over here, isakadacha isa bechlala prate, amai mechaiv mushba vomidhu. But the Gemara says, but that's not true with Shuas Bitui. Shuas Bitui. Once you make a general Shua with full coverage of all the details, your individual Shuas of the details are no longer have any impact. So even though over there by Shuas Epikadon, there is an idea of having both a general and a specific Shua, that's not true over here. So the Gemara says is that by Shuas Epikadon, even though you do have multiple shvuas with the general follow-up, and then by specific, that doesn't translate to shvuas abitui. Okay. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Let's recap. The Mishnah talked about a shvua that has full coverage of eating. We have spent a good part of our day today in the daf, half of it, Amud Aleph of Chav Gimel, describing how that really when you say eating and covered by eating is eating and drinking. In fact, the Gemara, to the extent in which if your shvuas that you're not going to eat and all you do is just drink, that's a violation of your Shavuah. The Gemara learns that from Svarah. The Gemara learns that from Psukim. The Gemara also learns it in the Mishnah as well. Mishnah seems to indicate that, but it's not super clear as we went through over the duration of today. And then we spent the second half of today's daf talking about how a person can make one Shavuah, but meanwhile it can manifest itself as three separate Shavuahs. A person says he's not going to eat the bread of wheat, barley, and spelt. So because he keeps repeating the word bread each time, that means that it's really a separate shvua in each one. As long as the word pasta is superfluous, what would be cases where pasta is superfluous? We went over that. Drinking as well. If you actually identify the drinks, then the identification of the drinks is not necessary. And it's superfluous. So under those circumstances, again, it's a shvua on each one.